You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Tonight, we want to take a moment and focus on our missions. We missed that last Wednesday, of course, because of our annual business meeting. So tonight, I have the distinct privilege of having Brother Hanscom come and deliver our missions report. Can you give him a hand as he comes?
Well, thank you very much, folks. Amen. We're glad to be in the house of God tonight. It's just wonderful to feel his presence. Amen. And we're here tonight early, and I was thinking, oh, God, give us revival. Give us a move of the Holy Ghost. Fill souls with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm so happy to see the people coming and worshiping and all of these things, but the result or the end result that we desire is that they would be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost and living for God, and I just pray for that tonight. How many will pray with me about that? Amen. Amen. Without prayer, we're just having church, folks. Amen. We've got to join together and pray. Praise God. Our missions report is wonderful this month, $20,677. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you very, very, very much. Amen. That's just wonderful, 20,000. It's been down a little bit, and I was a little concerned, but thank the Lord it's coming back. Amen. And I also want to mention that we have our missions conference coming in September. Now, that seems like a long ways away, but how quickly does the time fly? And we have Brother Urshan coming, Brother Joel Urshan coming to be our speaker that weekend. It's going to be a powerful convention. And we're going to have a full house. And we're just going to focus on missions. There's some great things happening on the mission field. And people are being filled with the Holy Ghost. And there are thousands in actually the country of, if I get it straight here right now, just a minute here, I'll look at this. Amen. That's not the country I want. There's a country here It keeps you humble, doesn't it, Brother Robertson? Amen. I got it written down here somewhere. There's a country that had over 1,099 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost at their conference. And it's Madagascar. I see it on the very bottom of my notes. In Madagascar. 1,099. Now, I don't know why there wasn't 1,100, but 1,099 filled with the Holy Ghost in Madagascar. And I just read that, and I'm just praising the Lord for that. Amen. But we've got some very serious things, and I'm going to bring some things to you right now for prayer. And I want you to take it serious and pray over the next coming weeks or so. The country of Haiti. And as you've been reading a lot about Haiti, it's in total chaos. And our Bible school there, Brother Brian is our missionary, and I don't know how he must be having a heart attack. They tore the Bible school to pieces, or vandals, gangs went in there and tore the Bible school, the orphanage, the headquarters church, everything's in rumbles. And Brother Brian has spent 20-some years in Haiti. And I was just praying for him today and thinking, oh, God, that would just break my heart after all those years. But I believe that we can pray that God's going to work that thing out, and there's going to be a great revival in the country of Haiti. Amen. Amen. And, of course, I think of Ukraine, our missionaries there, and I was reading about them, how they go to bed at night with suitcases packed, ready to leave at any moment. They don't know when there's going to be a missile that would strike their building or their church or where they're staying. So we need to pray for our missionaries in the Ukraine. Amen. And then there's several missionary, veteran missionaries that have passed away in this last month. There's a Sister Chiswell, which was a veteran missionary in the country of France. She has passed away. Her funeral is this week. Also, Sister Judy Strickland has passed away, and they were missionaries many years in the country of Greece. And then a good friend of mine, Brother Philip Walmer, is in a very serious health problem and in palliative care, and he spent over 40 years in the country of Brazil. And these are great, great men of God and women of God, and I just want us to pray for them right now. Would you stand with me? And I want to say thank you for your missionary giving. Thank you so much. And you're so fantastic, so faithful in your giving. And it's so marvelous to be able to stand here and represent you in missions because you're so faithful. But let's pray for these needs tonight. Would we together right now lift our hands and just begin to seek the Lord and pray for the country of Haiti. Pray for the Bryan family. Pray for the Ukraine, oh God. I pray for these precious people, Lord, that's given their life and everything. They're given everything they have to the work of the Lord in these nations, oh God. Hallelujah. Those that have gone on to meet the Lord, we pray for their families today. We pray for the Strickland family today, oh God. In Jesus' name, the Chiswell family and those that are suffering loss at this time, we ask, God, that you would minister to them and you would strengthen them by your power and by your spirit, we pray. In the wonderful name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We praise and lift your name up today, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, today. God bless you. Thank you so much. I want to say thank you again for your mission giving. It's wonderful. Thank the Lord.
Amen. 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 Just while you're standing, I want to turn to the word of the Lord, and I have the privilege of being able to speak to you once again. Hopefully nobody's getting sick of me. Psalm 19, it says this, Psalm 19, verse 1, if you have your Bible. If you don't, it's up on the screen. It says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. For a few moments here tonight, I just want to speak to you on this topic. I want to see. I want to see. Can you lift up your hands right now and just begin to praise him one more time? We are so thankful, God, for your presence that we felt in this place. We pray that you would speak to us in a mighty way. God, I pray, Lord, that your anointing would rest upon your servant here today as I speak to this wonderful group of people, Lord, that you call family. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, let your will be done. And we give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Once again, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Last night, I grabbed my guitar and after we got the kids to bed, and I went in onto our back deck. We have one of those fire tables, so I turned it on, looked at the flames, started playing my guitar, and I started singing about the goodness of God. I just started staring at the heavens, and of course, I was thinking of this sermon that I'm about to give you here today, but I was just enamored with the beauty of God's creation. The goodness of God. Like many others, on Monday, April the 8th, we stood outside with our fashionable, if I will say so myself, our fashionable eclipse glasses. I forgot mine. I actually meant to slip mine into my coat pocket before I came because I was going to show you. Actually, I did slip them in here. Oh, how many were doing this? On Monday. Mouth gaping open. Staring up at the sky, waiting for some galactic event to take place. My wife was actually the most excited of us all. She kept saying, come quick, come quick. The kids quickly grabbed their glasses and they ran out saying, I want to see too. We put on our glasses, and of course, they're so dark, you really have to scan around to see. until you can just spot through your cool shades and say, there it is, look, while others are still saying, I haven't seen it yet, where? And we'd point them in the right direction, and then all of a sudden, you know, we watched as the sun turned into just a sliver in the sky. The wind died down, the chirping of the birds stopped, and it turned darker and darker. And the worry at the back of everyone's mind, of course, because you're blasted all over social media, all over the internet, you're worried about permanent vision loss. And so we kept asking each other, it is getting darker, right? We wanted to see it, but we didn't want it to alter our vision permanently. So with that in mind, we would just look at it for a couple of seconds at a time through our specialized glasses. In awe, we behold the majesty of his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19 is saying that God is constantly communicating from the heavens. We have some hopefully nice weather coming up after the rain. And I challenge you, go out after dark and look up. Put down the electronics, leave the phones in the house, lay down on the grass and just gaze into the heavens. We'll sometimes grab blankets, run it into our backyard and lay on the trampoline and just watch. Look up at the stars. And you get a sense that there is a marvelous creator behind all that we see. Creation speaks to us about the glory of our amazing God. The Lord uses the heavens to declare it. He communicates his purpose, his plan through the universe. The heavens declare the glory of God. And sometimes his communication is more specific and direct than at other times. And like the rainbow that was given to Moses as a sign from the Lord that he'll never destroy the earth with a flood again. Like the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led his people in the wilderness. He used a star to announce his arrival when he was born in Bethlehem. Remember the wise men? They said that they knew that the Messiah was born because they saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Over the centuries, humanity has given names to many of the stars and the constellations in the sky. We've named the 8 planets in our solar system. Most of us don't really think a whole lot about it. We live here on Earth, and Earth seems like a lot on its own. But think of this. Jupiter is called the king planet. It can fit 1,300 Earths inside of it. And one of the brightest stars in the sky after the sun is named Regulus. It's called the king star. And you can see by comparison how large it is. It is 3 times the size of our sun. And our sun fits over 1,000 Jupiters, or 1.3 million Earths inside of it. So Regulus would fit about 4 million Earths inside of it. Regulus is located inside a constellation called Leo. And Leo is called the King Constellation. Anyone see the similarities? This amazing constellation, it contains stars that are hundreds of light years away from each other. One light year is 5.879 quadrillion miles. That's 12 zeros. And hold on with me just for a moment here, because it isn't just a science lesson that I'm giving you tonight. It has meaning to us as Bible-believing Christians. I want us to go back to the year 3 BC. According to scholars, theologians, and astronomers, if you were watching the stars from Earth's perspective, you would have seen the following phenomenon. The planet Jupiter passed over the top of Regulus, the king star, and then it passed back over Regulus 2 more times over the next few months. In astronomy, that is called crowning. Crowning. Jupiter crowned Regulus in the constellation of Leo. Between late 3 BC and mid 2 BC, the king planet crowned the king star in the king constellation. The light from Regulus would take about 79 years to reach Earth. The rest of the stars in Leo were even further away than that. In other words, God put something into effect centuries before he came just to announce his birth. The wise men have Persia that the Bible tells us about were astronomers. They saw this happen and they knew exactly what this meant. Scholars and Jewish rabbis tell us that they were descendants of people directly taught their craft by the prophet Daniel himself. They know what this means. And so when these Eastern astronomers saw a crowning of the king by the king in the king, they gathered up gifts and they mounted their camels and they followed the star on its westward migration, which led them to Israel. As they followed this planet, Jupiter, the king planet, it came so close in the sky to the planet Venus that the two looked like they merged in the night sky. Jupiter is called the king planet. Venus is called the mother planet. This merger took place inside the constellation of Virgo. And guess what Virgo means? Virgo means virgin. The king star merged in the constellation of the virgin. And what's more is that the constellation of Leo that merged with this constellation means lion. The lion came through a virgin. Matthew 2 and 2, it says, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." God announced his first coming by forecasting it in the stars 2,000 years ago. And according to Scripture, he is announcing his second coming by forecasting it in the stars once again. That's what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 21 when he says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars." How? Well, in Matthew 24, which is the parallel passage to Luke 21, Jesus gets much more detailed about these heavenly events. Luke 24, 29, it describes four events. It says, "The sun will be darkened, the moon will not shed its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." On Columbus Day, in 1992, NASA launched a search and called it the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, or SETI for short. Frank White, in his book, The SETI Factor, he tells us this project used radioscopes and newly developed computer technology that was designed to scan the sky for signals that may be sent by any civilization beyond our solar system. They began by searching the 1,000 sun-like stars within 80 light years of Earth. They had hoped to pick up signals that may come from a star that has a planet like our own sun has. The computer they developed was able to process an entire encyclopedia full of random noises per second. It is 10 billion times more comprehensible than the sum of all previous searches. And they began this search on Columbus Day in honor of a man who went searching for a new world and found it. It's part of our nature. It's part of our DNA to search. Not just for our car keys, which we happen to do more than we'd like. And not just for our shoes. Where do we put those? Where's the left shoe? Why is it always the left shoe? But to search for truth. We want to see the unseen. We want to explore the unexplored. Tread where no man has gone before. God made us as curious as a cat, but luckily with more tools to search with. And the result is that we have searched for things as small as microorganisms and atoms for life invisible to the naked eye. And we have searched for the largest planets and stars in the universe. What have we found? Through all of our searching, what have we found? We found at the center of it all, an all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal God who has the power to create with his spoken word. The SETI search is fascinating to scientists as they speculate about life on other planets. My only problem with the search is that it is just another one of those human efforts to find that meaning of life by searching in all the wrong places. Humanity has searched the planet, turning it upside down, and many have still not found what they are looking for. People today, thousands of years later, are still searching. Like the prodigal son, people have wasted so much time invested in their search for something more that they miss seeing. The world continues to sidestep the one search, the only search that really matters. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, And he said, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord." I will be found by you. Search for me with all your heart, and I will be found. Only searchers find. All the lost and hidden treasures of the world, they're found by people searching. We pride ourselves on finding the best bargain, the best deal. Oh, you never believe what kind of deal I got. The best of everything. We scour through clearance bins. Hopefully I'm not the only one. It's trying to find, there's got to be something in here that may be a really good treasure. This isn't in my notes. Okay, I was down at Valley Village. Some people call it Valu Village. Sounds more fancy that way. And I was down at Valu Village, and I spotted this fancy suit jacket. And I thought, who in the world would give away this fancy suit jacket? So I tried it on, and you know what? It fit me perfectly. So I got looking it up on Google while I was standing there waiting for my wife to be done her search. And lo and behold, this $21 jacket that they had on the rack is $1,000 online. So I was like, I'm definitely getting it. I don't need it, but I'm definitely getting it. Who can pass up a deal like that? But we go searching. We go searching for the best of everything. We scour racks just to find that one treasure. And why wouldn't we? We were created to search. It's a part of us. The Bible tells us that we were created in the image of God, a reflection of what He is like, and He is the ultimate searcher. As soon as Adam and Eve fell, God came searching for them in the garden. When He came to this old world, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He used parables like the woman who turned her house upside down just to find a lost coin. Parables like the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them ran off. And he left the 99 in the pasture and he went out to search for just that one that went missing. He tells stories like the prodigal son who left the father's house with his inheritance in search of pleasure. And when he had spent everything and comes to the end of his road, he remembers his father's house and returns home. And the father who was watching out for his return, when he sees his son, he runs out to meet him and embraces him. He uses all of these stories that we have in our Bible, all of these parables, so that we can see what he's really like. So we can see him. Because he would turn this world upside down to find us. He would leave the 99 and come after you. Our Heavenly Father would come running after us. Isn't that just like our Lord? There's so much of him I haven't seen yet, but oh, I want to see. I want to see. Psalm 139, it begins, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." And it ends with, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." A prayer from the one who has searched for God. Search me, God. While people are searching the heavens for signs of life, the God of heaven and earth is searching out us. In Jeremiah 17:10, God says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, and I examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." He searches us. I want him to find me searching for him. It is possible for the best of people to get so preoccupied with other things that they lose Christ. In Luke chapter 2, we see a literal example of this. We often hear about the lost sheep, but seldom do we hear of the shepherd being lost. But here is a case where his parents lost the Lord and are frantically searching for him. I don't know if you've ever lost one of your children, but it is one of the most frightening experiences of your life. I know for Jolene and I, we lost our daughter once, okay? Nobody write us up. We lost her once in Toys R Us. We had just turned to see what Levi was showing us for 5 seconds, just 5 seconds. And then we turn around and gone. Where did she go? We began to frantically call out, Sadie, Sadie, where are you? And suddenly someone 2 aisles down from us called out, I think your little girl's down here. It was only for about a minute that we lost her from our sight, but it felt like an eternity. Jesus was 12, so he could take care of himself, I'm sure, but Sadie was only 3. We were bordering on hysteria. You go from 0 to 100 in seconds. My heart was pounding in my chest as we looked around, and there she was looking at dolls 2 aisles down from us. Toys R Us is not as noble a place as the temple where Jesus was found, but we were so happy and relieved that we were able to find her and the search was over. Many of you could tell stories about being lost. It happens. I don't know if you've ever imagined being the mother of the Lord, but it would be one of the most wonderful, terrifying things. You can't just lose him. You can't just lose the Lord. The world is depending on him. Come on, Mary, get with it. Mary is the only woman ever to give birth to the Word made flesh, and yet she lost him. This would not look good on her resume, let me just tell you that. Verse 44, it says, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. They assumed Jesus was just with some of his friends, some of their family. And so they went a whole day and never gave him another thought. We cannot throw any stones here, because we forget the Lord every time we forget to spend time with him in prayer. We forget the Lord every time we forget to read his word. We've all been there. No one's exempt. So we sympathize with them in this story. Joseph and Mary were not being neglectful parents. They just forgot to check out their assumptions. They made this trip every year to Jerusalem, so this was not the first time, I'm sure, that Jesus has been off with friends and relatives. And at 12 years old, I can only imagine he wouldn't be by his parents' side anyways. If you read the motive behind the expensive search of the stars, you will discover that the scientists are really looking for a savior. They hope to find beings who have made it through where we are at presently. If they can find a civilization that has reached this state and survived, that will give hope to them that we can survive. But what they've been looking for, they haven't seen yet. But let me tell you here tonight that he's been here the whole time. That hope, it has a name, and it's Jesus. He's the answer to our searching. He's what we've been looking for. People are spending a fortune seeking for a savior in the heavens, and the fact is that he can be found freely. It will not cost you a cent. He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That's right, more abundantly. The harsh reality that we are up against is that Jesus is still lost to millions of people. The search is not over. When Joseph and Mary found Jesus, he was in the temple among the teachers. He was listening to them, asking questions. Most 12-year-olds who are lost are not found in school. Whoever heard of a runaway who ran away from home to go to school? That is what we see here. Jesus was showing us how to search. The wisest men and women are those who never cease to search. Proverbs 2 verse 3 says, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Those who think they know enough to stop searching, they end up losing out on Jesus. In verse 49, we read the first words ever recorded by the Lord. Jesus asks this. First words ever recorded by the Lord. Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? These first words of Jesus are a hint of what is to come. The Lord is always asking questions, making people think. His first words are 2 questions to his parents. Unfortunately, verse 50 says, they did not understand. Here are the first recorded words of God in flesh, and they were not understood. What was he saying to them? Sometimes we would only learn more about Jesus when he tells us, seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible begins with a breakdown and understanding between God and man. And here we see it again in the beginning of the New Testament. This breakdown of communication can only be fixed by searching. It seems strange that man spends a fortune to find life on other planets when there are millions who have not even found true life on this planet. This is the life that Jesus brought into this world. 1 John 5:12, John writes and he says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus is lost to masses of people. And the result is that the life people long for is right at their fingertips. Mark 10, it tells us the story of a blind man named Bartimaeus. Mark 10, verse 46, it says this, they came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even louder, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. They called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? You'd think that it would be obvious. Here Jesus is asking questions again. The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. It's the story of a man who was reduced to begging because he was blind. There's a lot of trades that you couldn't do if you were blind. And at this time, there would be no guide dogs, I'm sure, for the blind, no books on tape, no institutions for those who were visually impaired. Blindness was a sentence of destitution and hopelessness at this time. In order to support himself, he would cry out for change. He would beg, and one day there seemed to be an unusual amount of commotion around him all of a sudden. Bartimaeus heard the plop of feet as they slapped the dusty ground around him. He heard shouts of, he'll be coming by here soon, from those rushing by. And one person said the name Jesus. I've heard that name. Where have I heard that name? A common name, but he had heard about a Jesus from Nazareth, a teacher. But not just a teacher, a man who had miraculous powers. He heard that this Jesus had made a deaf man hear and a lame man walk and had fed thousands of people miraculously. Jesus was coming, and Bartimaeus now sensed that he was close. He heard people call out, Jesus, Jesus, it's Jesus. Shouts rang out, and Bartimaeus could tell the crowd was getting near, and so he shouted out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he yelled it out again, Jesus, help me. The crowd starts saying, Bart, hold on there, buddy, calm down, quiet, you need to stop. Then something happened. The shouting stopped and the crowd went quiet. Bartimaeus heard a voice tell him to come here. Instantly, people in the crowd told Bartimaeus, it's your lucky day, man. Jesus wants to see you. Bartimaeus, he quickly throws off his coat. He jumps to his feet. With outstretched arms, he searches the air in front of him, taking cautious steps forward in the direction of the voice. And in a moment, he was close to the Lord, and he stops. Jesus asked, what do you want? There goes Jesus asking his questions. I want to see. And then he heard Jesus say, your faith has healed you. And suddenly, the Bible says immediately, the blackness behind his eyes began to turn gray, and then light seems to burst into his eyes. Bartimaeus blinks, and he couldn't believe it. There were things in front of him. He turned his head to the side. He could see the crowd staring at him in quiet curiosity. He said, maybe quietly at first, I can see. And then a little bit louder, I can see. until all he could do was run from person to person, grabbing them by the shoulder, saying, I can see you. I imagine Jesus standing there smiling. And that day, the Bible tells us, Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Wherever the Lord went, he went. Let's do our own eye exam today. Hopefully you didn't have any damage from watching the eclipse. We don't have any eye charts, just a couple of questions that we need to ask ourselves. Some of us here today have better eyesight than others. Some of us see very clearly, others with the help of glasses or bifocals or trifocals or contact lenses. But are we blind in other ways? When Bartimaeus could finally see, he saw Jesus. And when he saw him, he saw clearly for the first time in his life. But the second question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to see? Bartimaeus did. He knew he was blind. He knew what it was like to see, and he wanted to see again. But there is one very small but important detail in this story. Mark, who doesn't normally use extra words, unlike this Mark. My wife's always at me about, my goodness, just get to the story. Typical preacher. My goodness. Just dance around the bush until the bush gets tired. But this Mark, who writes this book, he doesn't normally use extra words. But here in this story, he does. He writes that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, his coat, to jump up and get to Jesus. We don't really know why he threw off his coat, but somehow in Bartimaeus' mind, he didn't want anything keeping him from getting to Jesus. So he took it off. No, he threw it off. He was getting rid of it without hesitation or question, so that's the final question. What's keeping us from Jesus today? From getting to him so that we can really see him for ourselves? Is it the cloak of our schedule? Is it something that you don't want to give up because you would rather just stay blind? Is your cloak your own comfort level? I don't know about you tonight, but I want to see. I want to see. If I could have the music come back. I want us to do a little exercise together. Why don't we all close our eyes? If your eyes are closed, I can't tell, mine are closed. You see the darkness. Now imagine God speaking everything into existence, just his word. Light comes into the picture. Galaxies start forming. The sun, the moon, the stars. Now picture God putting into motion his plan of salvation. He knew he was creating something that would fail him, that would mess up. He knew he was creating something that would one day refuse to even acknowledge him. So what does he do? He declares his purpose in the heavens. John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, can't make it out, it can't understand it. But verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full, oh, he's so full of grace, so full of truth. The King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, Elohim, El Shaddai, Emmanuel, Holy One, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Adonai. Jesus, Ancient of Days, orchestrates his message in the stars so that one day a group of wise men would come searching to ask the question, where's the King? We've come to worship. This light shines in the darkness of our world. The darkness cannot comprehend it. It can't make it out. But to those who open up their eyes to see, have beheld his glory, including the once blind Bartimaeus, We could all stand. Our prayer today is for one thing. Just one thing. I want to see. Lord, we want to see your miracles. We want to see your prophecies come true. We want to see your handiwork in the stars. We want to see your glory. But most of all, we want to see you, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Savior, our King, to the one who seeks us, to the one who seeks us out. We ask, search us, Lord, because we want to see. For the ones who watched the eclipse, we wanted to see it. Yeah, but we didn't want it to alter our vision permanently. But in the face of Jesus Christ, we want what we see to change us forever. Because when we truly see him, when we know we truly see him, it changes us. And someday soon, he will split the eastern sky. And finally, we will see him face to face. But until then, we search with all of our heart and tell the Lord, I want to see. I want to see, Lord. Tonight, I'm going to open up this altar. This is a sign of us stepping out in faith by coming forward, throwing up our hands in the air, and surrendering all to God. And when we do that tonight, we're professing, God, there's a lot of things that I've seen in my life, but the only thing that matters is seeing you. God, there's so many things that have been tossed this way and that way. Just as the beginning of time was chaotic, Lord, you brought all things into the symphony that we belong in right now. God, and I pray here today that you would touch each and every heart, God. Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, you know, Lord, that it's in us to search. God, but I pray here today, Lord, that you would find us searching for you. Searching for you with all of our heart, God. Searching for you with all of our strength, with all of our might. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you everything here tonight, Jesus. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.